Okay, so I'm Mark Rainford at JET. I'm going to tell you a little bit about improvements we made to the JTV service and VNConf. VNConf is a newish application for shared desktop, and JTV is a service which provides displays as seen in the control room, showing live data, and also we use it for teleconferencing to show desktops. So the previous presentation on JTV was actually 2001. There's been a few milestones since then. In January 2004, we converted to XOHD. This is a JET application again, something we developed here to manage the overhead displays in the J2 control room. So it gives us good management of unmanned displays, automatic recovery from failures in the network, failures in applications and such. And it proved to be so good at its job that we decided to use it for JTV, which is very similar in nature to the overhead displays. The XOHD is also used elsewhere around site. There are other displays, not only in the J2 control room, but also in the main entrance to the main building and in some of the public areas, the restroom, the cafe area, and the conference room. And in the last two, there is a user-operated keypad where you can actually choose which JTV channel you wish to watch. In January 2006, we migrated JTV to Solaris 10. This was done in conjunction with a hardware upgrade. We used to run on 8 Spark 4s and Spark 20s. We're now running on 2 Ultra 60s. One of them has 2 Solaris 10 zones. These are virtual hosts running inside a physical box. One is the front end, the other is a back end. So the front end is where the clients connect. The back end is where the display applications actually run. And the other Ultra 60 is the original teleconference machine, which we were using in the old setup. In fact, we retained that. The Ultra 60s, twin CPU machines, and Solaris 10, they can easily cope with the load better than the previous 8 machines did. As part of the migration, we also converted JTV to multiple stations. So previously, there was only the way the software was arranged, it would only run in one set of channels. So now I have the notion of a station, JTV station, which is a set of channels which have a common configuration, a common front-end host, and their own web page. And this move to the multi-station support was done in parallel with the existing system, which stayed live. When the new system came on, simply allowed new clients to take up the new system, and we didn't turn off the old system until the last client had gone away, so nobody really noticed any difference. The essential architecture of the system is unchanged. There's a reference there to the web page for the index to the channels. And then earlier this year, there was a documentation update, and the JET descriptive note describes how the system works. It describes some of the security issues, explains some administrative commands, and also gives operator procedures for fault recovery, so some of our on-site 24-hour present staff can undertake recovery if need be, or any procedures. Some issues to do with the access have changed. So traditionally, our firewall only permits free and challenged access into JET from sites which we trust, as their association sites. It's slightly different for JTV. The firewall allows access from anywhere in the world, and it's down to JTV to check where it's coming from and take action. So we have a JET modification to the BNC server, which simply starts a sub-process that makes the decision, yes or no, should the connection be allowed. And what this process does is check the client IP address. So we undertake open access for all of the JET sites and associate labs, same as the firewall does for other applications. And then for others, there's a challenge for the password of the day. And this is available on the index webpage. And we're piggybacking on the fact that in order to read this web page, you have to have authenticated already, either at the website or by logging into JET remotely. That's the only way you can get to see the password. So if you know the password, you can then look at JTV channels from anywhere in the world. It changes every day, perhaps more often if we run the script more often. There's another reference to the index webpage. Now, the password can be different for a teleconference. If somebody books a teleconference, they have their own password, then that's the one which is applied by the same system. If there isn't a teleconference password, then it just falls back to the password of the day. And the address, the list of IP addresses which the system uses is the same list as used by the firewall and other applications in JET. So a few miscellaneous things. We standardized on screen sizes. Some people had composed old screens with different size views of the countdown mimic or whatever, so we re-established the old sizes on new channels for them. In February this year, we were given a talk on ITER by Mr. Chetty Bandijotu, and in a previous talk some 2 weeks before, there had been many disappointed clients who wanted to follow the slides but were unable to connect, and this turned out to be because of a client connection number problem limited to around about 64 connections. And in fact, this was in part a motivation for the migration to Solaris 10, where the default number of connections was 1,024. And unfortunately, we found once we'd done the migration, there was a further limit somewhere else, not in the operating system, but in application software that still kept us to 64. So we conjured up 6 extra channels feeding the HOW, the Hans Otto Worcester Room teleconference presentation PC desktop. This was an easy thing to do with JTB. And then we had sufficient capacity for all the people who wanted to watch. Maximum number of connected clients we noticed were 106 clients, and it averaged about 18. We didn't notice any serious degradation of service. On channel 14, there was a web camera that was out of action for a long time. This is because we'd moved platform and never managed to get the camera drivers for the directly attached camera to work. That's now been thrown in the bin, and we've got a new camera network attached, and so no need to tinker with Solaris. In the JTB executables and the documentation, we put in the CVS repository. This is a source code repository and with anonymous read access. Unfortunately, not remote yet, but you can get it if you log into JET. And in the notes associated with these slides, there's the CVS root string, which you need for anonymous read access. And then something for the future, a project in the offing, we may be able to provide mimics which you can navigate. At the moment, if you look on JTV, you'll see the mimic which we choose. In the future, you may be able to see the mimic which you choose by operating a selector on the screen. We have a proof of concept demonstrated, so it now remains to go and implement this. We'll have to take care of things like not allowing people to do anything other than navigate. So moving on then, that's JTB. And, oh, there's the index web page. So the top right-hand corner of that page is where the password of the day is. You see the extra 6 channels for the HOW conference room. So VNConf is self-service desktop sharing. So we're in the same ballpark as FTTV with JTB and VNConf, really, but we're doing it slightly different. In VNConf, there's no limit to how many people can share a desktop or how many desktops can be arranged. So when you connect to VNConf on the VNC address shown there, you get to see a chooser which shows all the currently published desktops. And if you wish to publish one, then there's support for you to do this from the web or from the command line. And as a publisher, you simply choose a title, a password, and whether you want the people sharing the desktop to be able to control it, write access. And if you have a desktop, that one could be shown or we'll create one for you. So it's dynamic. If you do provide write access, or do permit write access rather, then anybody who connects from off-site, then the system insists on a mandatory secure ID authentication. This generally isn't a problem. If you've got a key fob, it's on your household key ring and you've got it with you. So it generally works quite well. There's a good chance this might replace JTB for teleconferencing. It's much more convenient to use. And the system, the VNConf software, was written with the intention of being portable, so we tried to eliminate as much JET-specific software as possible, although there has to be a little. We don't have an application of it elsewhere yet. It'll be an interesting exercise to get one working. The documentation is in progress. And finally, the system is in regular use at Cullen by both JET and MAST for sharing desktops during discussion. That's all I have. Are there any questions?